Hallelujah. Welcome back into the house of the Lord tonight. God is so good. We're continuing emotional healing. We actually have two more weeks. Next week is going to be trauma, the terror of trauma. This is unaddressed trauma and things like that, but I'll do a quick review, and actually I have a testimony here tonight, but I want to go through a couple things tonight that we have not covered, but I'll begin with what I always say, that God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are also triune beings. We are spirit, soul, and body created in the image of Christ. It just makes sense, and it's true. All healing is not physical. Sometimes healing means healing of emotions, healing of marriage, finances, relationships. Thank God for the cross. All of that is provided. Since we have not done a good job managing properly our emotions, we need to surrender them to the Lordship of the Holy Spirit and ask God and the Holy Spirit to help us to gain authority, I don't want to say control, authority over our emotions. We want our emotions to be submitted to the cross and them to be used for righteousness' sake. If we're angry, we need to be angry at injustice and sin. If we are sad, we need to be sad and compassionate for people who are hurting and who are broken. And we are never to misuse or abuse our emotions to manipulate other people. And I've given plenty of examples about that. But I want to say something. I'm going to get a touch deeper here right this second. Something the Holy Spirit put in my heart and told me real basically that I should be sharing this. And so I'm going to. I want to give you an additional reason why we need to surrender our emotions to Christ and the cross. I'm going to give you a different example. I gave you a lot of anger examples and different things, but I want to give you tell you what actually happens. If we misuse the emotion of anger, somebody does something and I constantly just scream at them and yell at them and, you know, just get out of control, and I allow myself to be out of control all the time, that's not just a misuse of your emotion. Let me tell you what really happens. You open the door to demons. And you think you're controlling your anger? Excuse me. These demons are controlling you. And you will literally be angry about anything and everything. In fact, the Bible actually says, make no friends or alliance with an angry man. You need to stay away from angry people. And this is why I said last week, anger is a deadly emotion when not managed and controlled and put under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I made the statement, and I'm going to pretty much stand by this. If you continually allow your anger to rule and reign over you, and it's not submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you are going to prison. Maybe not tomorrow, but you will overstep civil bounds. You will do something that you had never intended to do because you allowed your anger, you allowed the enemy to take control of your anger and not submit it to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me use sadness. Let's talk about the emotion of sorrow and sadness. What happens if we allow ourselves to continually be the victim? I'm just sad about this, and I'm sad about that, and this didn't happen, and that didn't happen, and I cry all the... If I don't submit that emotion to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, let me tell you what kind of spirits comes in with that. Spirits of suicide. They will march right in and say, you know what? Life isn't worth living for you anymore, is it? You're sad all the time. You have a reason to be sad. The enemy will begin to talk to you, and that opens the door to demons. And that is why a study on emotions and how to surrender our emotions to God, because we are emotional beings, we need to, if we have emotions like God has, we need to know how to manage them. We need to know what to do with them. And that answer is submit them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot allow sadness or anger or fear to take control and to dominate us and rule us. And so it's with grievous consequences that we misuse our emotions. I use the example of Frida. Maybe I want that solo part in the choir. I don't want Lilia to have it. Why should Lilia get it? I want that solo part. And so I go to Frida. Oh, my gosh, Frida, she always gets the solo. And so Frida's like, she's kind of put on the spot. She never intended to give me that. That's not my thing. But she's under duress right now. And unless she just says the truth, which that is not your part, you stay in your own lane, But if that doesn't work, and I see Frida is not bothered by my sadness, she didn't get it. Okay, we're going to have to kick this up a notch or two. I am so mad, Frida. This is injustice. This is not right. I belong to this church. Why does she get? And now she's really. And if I do that, I didn't honor God. I dishonored her. I dishonored my Father God, and I dishonored and disrespected myself. Because guess what people are going to start doing? They're going to stay away from me because I'm out of control. I have allowed my emotions to rule me. And so I can quickly become an out-of-control person, and I can lose friends and family because, and rightfully so, because the Bible says, make no friends with an angry man. Get away from her. And that's really what we have to understand. I don't want to be the person that people fear. What's going to happen next? When I recently had a situation where I was very gentle with it, but there's a reason I was gentle with it. Someone asked me, why don't you call so-and-so? You know what my answer was? I'm afraid because they're always mad. They're always angry all the time. I don't want to call them. If I have to, I will. But, you know, you just got to catch them at the... You know what? I don't want to be that person that people say, I need, but I don't want to talk. You know, we don't know what we're going to get when we pick up that phone. That's not the way you want to be. You want to be consistent. You want your emotions to be in control at all times, in every situation. Or another thing that happens if your emotions are out of control, let me tell you about decision making. Tony Pacinda can remember years ago when Monica got hit by the car, and let me tell you, we were out of here. We were at music practice, and I mean, all of us were just down the road out of here. And my dad just eventually, every crisis situation, that's the one thing he had a problem with. He did not handle crisis well. He was wise, but let me tell you, if a loved one was hurt or something, he was totally off the charts. Do you know what can happen? On the way to the accident, you can get in an accident. On the way to try to help somebody, you can find yourself needing help too, because your emotions in a situation when you need to be in control and make wise decisions, you're almost like fear can paralyze you. And you won't even know how to handle it or what to do with the situation. But concerning emotions, when we are wounded, when we are hurt, and if we let our emotions rule and reign, we are very vulnerable to the enemy. I mean, he's going to come right in because, as I said, a wound is a weak spot. So we need, but I want to say something about our hurt and our pain. There is something we actually need more than healing of our emotions. Does anybody know what it is? What would we need more than healing? The healer. We need him more than we need the healing. That is the truth. We need to be able to go to him, take our pain to him. And we need to know that even if we're hurting, he's still the healer. And we need to know that our tears are safe with Jesus. I know they are because he's bottled them. And we can trust him with all of our pain. With every bit of pain, we can trust him. And I want to say something in case anybody might be here tonight. Could be me, could be you, any of us, or all of us. And if we've been hurt, I want you to know something. If you've been hurt, you are not defective simply because someone rejected you that should have accepted you, someone abandoned you who should have stayed in a relationship with you, someone wounded you who should have been a part of healing, someone abused you, someone betrayed you who should have been faithful to you, someone who should have loved you but they chose to hurt you instead. That isn't you. You did not deserve that pain. That comes from hell, right? You don't even look at the person. I want you for a minute, if you've ever been hurt by someone, I want you to just in your mind do something here real quickly. Separate the person from the behavior. Be able to separate the person and say, if they did hurt me, and they probably did, whether they hurt you intentionally or unintentionally, your pain is still the same. You're going to have pain, but we need to be able to separate the person and actually understand that they need help too. They need Jesus really, really bad. So it's sometimes we're going to be in pain. We have to be careful of what our response is to the pain. And so we're not defective. The devil's going to tell you you are. This is all about you, but he's just deflecting. It's all about pain that he inflicted on you and then wants to blame you and everyone else. But not only can God heal your pain, God can redeem your pain. I want to read you a scripture, and our testifier can get ready. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together." What things? All things work together. All what? All my trauma, all my pain, all my suffering, all the sorrow I've ever went through, all the betrayal works together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That's you. So that means that all these things are redeemable. Is pain a good thing? We don't like pain, but sometimes it is a good thing. I'm not saying that God ever caused anything, but some types of pain, a surgeon's knife is a good thing. It's a good thing. It leads to healing. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There's so many times, but in a case where it's unjust pain, God has to redeem it in order for it to be okay. But he can and he will redeem it. And I told you I'd give you a couple scriptures. One of them I want to give you is Psalm 147:3 that simply says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." And the reason I wanted to give you that one is because we know that God heals physical hearts, but he also heals the wounds that no one else sees, that are not obvious on the outside. The brokenhearted is not a physical thing. That's emotional healing. That's exactly what it's talking about. These wounds are the wounds of a broken hearted. They're not the wounds of a physical injury. So whether someone hurts you, betrays you, rejects you, or if you went through a trauma, which is what we're going to be talking about next week, the terror of trauma, if you went through an extremely traumatic situation, a little bit of PTSD, that they say about 92% of society has some level of PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. I think that we've all experienced that at some time. But when you go through a situation, and remember I said that when we go through something physical, sometimes it affects our emotions. When we go through something emotionally, that can cause us to be sick physically. So the enemy will set up a situation, and he'll tell the person who's hurt, "You're never going to heal. This betrayal is too much. You need to jump off a bridge." But we have to give it to Jesus. And one of the reasons we need to give it to Jesus, other than all of these, is remember I told you the story of my high school friend who can still remember every single person who rejected her, who talks about each little situation as if it was today, as if they were making fun of her today. Some of them, I went to the school reunion, and some of them were on the screen as being deceased. And she still talks about how they hurt her. And she said, "If I ever were to see so-and-so," and she wasn't at the reunion, "I wanted to tell her, well, you're not going to see them. You're not likely to see them. You know, they're someplace else. They are gone. I saw their picture on the screen." You know, it was quite shocking because I'm in my 60s at the school reunion. Side note, they put everybody picture and on the screen. My friend Rose and I said that was kind of a downer for the reunion, you know, just a little bit of downer there because there were so many. We're in our 60s, you know. I was like, oh, you know, we're just sitting there saying thankful we're not on the screen tonight. You know, don't take my picture. But emotionally, we can go through things, and those things can cause us to be heavy-hearted and have pain. Now, Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit." However many have ever heard that Jesus was wounded for our iniquities, he was crushed. He was crushed. What does it mean to be crushed? Was he crushed by a truck? They crushed him on the cross? That's not the kind of crushing we're talking about. We're talking about a crushing of spirit because he says he's near the brokenhearted that are crushed. This is people that are broken in their heart and have overwhelming pain and sorrow and sadness. And this says, Isaiah 53:5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed," again the word crushed, "for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." We need peace when we're crushed, don't we? When we've been just crushed by somebody, we need peace. And I said that I would share verses, so I want to share one more. for right now. Then I'll come back a few seconds later. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. It's one of my favorites because I meet so many people and talk to so many people who have panic attacks right now and who have anxiety and depression. And we are never to look down on anybody, and we are never to reject anybody. You know, Jesus never says, it's just your emotions, get over it. You're not really sick. You're not really going to die. Grow up. Pull it together. He will never make light of your hurt or your pain. He is compassionate. You know what he does do? He enters into it with you. He comes near to the brokenhearted. And the Bible goes out of its way to say, not that he'll take care of your broken heart, but that he'll be near and close. Sometimes we need someone. Sandra, do you want to come and share? I asked Sandra if she would be willing to share a little bit of her testimony because, you know, she went through an emotional situation, and she'll tell you about it.
Y'all ever do something just because you were forced to? My mom wrote these words for me to say to you guys, you know. Just kidding. No, so most of you guys know that I was sick with COVID over about 2 years ago. I got sick in January 2 years ago, and I wound up with long COVID, which we didn't know what it was at the time. But I wound up being sick, in and out of doctors, hospitals. I had extreme, pressure in my head. I'd get up in the morning, I'd be like, today's going to be a good day, I'm going to be great, and then all of a sudden, I'd be like, oh, I'm dizzy. I feel like fainting. I need to sit down, and I can't eat, and it was just a mess of things. In between that, they wound up taking out my gallbladder, which probably shouldn't have happened, but they were just trying everything. So they took out my gallbladder. I had a tooth surgery in between that. So it was just a whole mess of things. While I was in the gallbladder surgery, my heart had skipped beats, and it went real sky high and then real low. So I wound up at a heart cardiologist, and I remember sitting in the room, and I was like, there's all these people around us, and I'm like, I don't belong here. Like, these people are like 80, 90 years old, and I'm like, here I am. I'm like sitting there, and I'm like, I knew I wasn't supposed to be there, and I'm like, okay, but so I'm doing all these testing. They're like, okay, we're going to do the EKGs and all this, and we're going to do a stress test. And so I go through all this testing, and, you know, and this is weeks and weeks of just testings and doctors and trying to figure out what's going on with me. And I'm like, they cannot figure anything out. Nothing's wrong with me. So my doctor's like, have you ever just thought maybe it's just long COVID? And I'm like, no, something is wrong with me. Like, my sides are hurt. My side's hurting, and I just, every day is like, I'm sitting at my kitchen table, and I'm like, I need to eat because I'm losing weight as quickly as possible, and I'm needing to eat, and I'm literally crying because I have this gigantic waffle in front of me, and I'm like, I can't eat this. But I knew I had to because I needed strength, so just days and days of that, I would go to sleep at night, and I'd literally be like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to die tonight. Like, every night for like four months, it was like, I'm not going to wake up in the morning. I'm going to be dead in the morning. But that's okay. I'm okay with it. I'm going to go see Jesus, you know. But I knew that wasn't what my life was supposed to be, you know. But it starts messing with your head. You're like, oh my gosh, another day of this? Like, I can't do this. And then you'd wake up, and I'd wake up, it'd be the same thing. I'd go to bed listening to, you know, Kenneth Hagin healing scriptures, like, on loop for, like, 8 hours at a time. And I'd be like, I'd wake up when it would stop, and I'd start all over again, and it'd go for another 8 hours. And I just wanted people all around me, all times of the day. I was like, whoever will stay home with me is fine. I do not know how Grace passed senior year in high school because she'd call and she'd be like, do you want me to come home? And I'd be like, yes, come home. Just because I wanted somebody there, because it starts messing with you. You're like, am I just going to die? Is this the way my life is supposed to be? Am I just never going to wake up if I go to sleep? If it just starts, the devil just starts playing tricks on you. And I know that I'm not the only one that has gone through something like this, but there is hope at the end of it, no matter if it's healing that you need for your health, your heart needs healing, your emotions, whatever you need. One of the things that I did do was somebody had gifted me a Bible one night, just said, I feel like you should have this new Bible. And I was like, oh, a new Bible. Okay, I'll put it in my collection. But but in the midst of, you know, crying all day long and every day, I was like, I'm going to start Bible journaling. And there's literally places in my Bible where the pages are like tear stained. And I was like, I don't feel good. I'm at home. I'm struggling emotionally. I'm struggling with my health. I'm going to Bible journal. So I just started highlighting verses. The whole Bible is just highlighted with verses, because that was the only thing that would bring me comfort, was to be in the Word and have worship music on and have people around me. And I was like, I'm just going to get in the Word. And I was like, I'm not going to live like this anymore. Because I have to have relief. And I knew the only relief was Jesus. That was the only relief. That was the only thing that I could do, was to worship and to get in the Word, because that was the only thing that changed it. And I know that everybody prayed, and I think that that is also part of the importance of healing, is having people surrounding you, praying, and being with you in the fire. And when you're hurting, it's so easy to be like angry at people and be like, oh, it's God's fault, or, you know, I just want to treat you like crap because I don't feel good. But we need to grab hold of our emotions and be like, no, I'm hurting, I need people, and I need to press in more than ever. So Mom wanted me to share that. And I know we're all family, so I could do that. But I think that it's so important to hear these lessons and to share these lessons with people, because everybody needs Jesus, bottom line. So there you go.
Her exact quote in the cardiologist's office: all of these people are your age, Mom. Exact quote. I'm like, thank you very much. But it's true. The turning point came for Sandra, in my opinion, when she called for the elders of the church. She finally got to the breaking point where she said, nothing is really working for me. You know, I want the elders of the church to come and to lay hands on me. And she came up here. And I think that was that and the Bible journaling was a huge step of faith. But I see her as God as having so redeemed that she has compassion for people. You know, if somebody's, I can remember being in, when Sandra was going through that, being in Cheesecake Factory, and she said, oh, it's a good day, Mom. We're going to go to Cheesecake Factory. So we're out in Oak Brook, and I'm kind of excited. You know, she said, maybe it's a turning point. It's a good day. I don't know how long we were in there. I think we actually got our food to the table, and she just started crying. We had to leave. It was bad. It was hard. But that's what the enemy does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your hope. But we need to understand that we can cast our anxieties on him, that he does care for us, and that panic attacks, these fear, great fear that paralyzes us. No, that is not of God. But a scripture that I really, really like is this next one, is Psalm 51 and 17, that says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Wait a minute. I thought I had to give God a nicer gift than a broken spirit. Who wants broken things? He says the sacrifices, something I can give to God that he will accept, is my broken spirit. In a repentant heart, oh God, you will not despise. God doesn't hate our brokenness. He isn't disappointed in us because we are broken. You know, we think of giving God other things, but we don't think of giving him our brokenness. And Psalm 34:15 says something that I love, because I shared with you last week, remember the story about our pastor when we were young children, that he had a nervous breakdown because his church came against him hard. I want to finish up that story tonight, if it's okay. He had a nervous breakdown, and we were little kids, and our dad told us, he said, when Pastor Stope comes over, you can't slam doors, you can't do anything because he's going to cry. And he did cry. Pastor Ken can tell you, our pastor cried, Pastor Richard Stope, Brother Stope, all the time when he was at our home and our dad ministered to him. And here's a thought that I had was, I would much rather be the broken Pastor Stope than I would the people that came out. They broke him. If you have a broken heart, chances are you're going to have to, we have to talk about forgiveness eventually, because someone took your heart or you gave them your heart and they broke it. And so he had a broken heart, and it was none of his fault. But my mom finished up the story for me today, which I really needed to hear. I asked her, because I had this in my notes for today, I said, could you tell me, Mom, do you remember what happened with the resolution of Brother Stope? Because I know he used to come to the house all the time, and Dad would pray with him. And Dad and a man who went to this church, Tony and all of us know him, Frank Snyder, ministered, and they were faithful to him. And Mom said, yes, Pam. She said, they broke him so bad that eventually the denomination we were in moved him to another church. Guess what? That other church loved him. It was a much bigger church. They loved him. They blessed him. My dad went there and spoke and said, this is, told the story about what happened and how thankful he was that Brother Stope was accepted by this group of people. And that's the true church of Jesus Christ. And believe me, God blessed him and he redeemed him out of his brokenness, just like Sandra, and healed. What a revelation. Something, as I'm worship team, you can go ahead and come. I want to read the Ecclesiastes and then just explain it real quickly while they come. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You will enjoy a reward and see great healing and miracles in heaven together. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that's alone when he falls, for he doesn't have another to help him up. What does it mean when they fall? Why did my eyes go to that word, when they fall? It just was powerful when the Holy Spirit started. Because we all fall sometime. We're all going to fall down. Have you lived your life and never fell down physically? No. So you've fallen down physically. Chances are you've also or will fall down emotionally. They fall. But we can get lifted up again through Jesus. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit different tonight. I want to ask you if you would be willing, while they worship, to come up here and to bring every disappointment, every bit of disappointment that you've ever suffered, every bit of anger, any unforgiveness, any hurt that's in your life, any broken relationship, any broken heart that you have, especially the disappointments in life. There's so many times, even if we're sick like Sandra was, we can say, I don't understand, God, why I have to be the one sick. Why do I have to be the one? Why do I have to be the one that really isn't loved like I should be loved? We need Jesus to heal us. And there's people that say, I don't need Jesus. There's nothing wrong with me. That's what's wrong, is for me to think, I don't need Jesus. And I just want to say a prayer for all of us together that God would heal us in places we don't even know are hurting. Do you know sometimes we don't know we're hurting? We've so pushed it aside. I'm strong. I would have told you that Sandra was one of the most strong people you know. She's emotionally strong. She's physically strong. You know Sandra's tough. She'll push you in a corner. Come on, guys. You know she's tough. You know she's strong. But when the enemy comes out hard against you, and he knows where we're hurt and when we're hurt, let me tell you, it can happen fast and it can happen out of the blue. Because although God's no respecter of persons, neither is the enemy. He seeks whomever he may devour. Father, we're just going to worship you tonight, Father God, even in brokenness, even in times when we're suffering, when we need, Father, we need you on our what we call our best day as much as we do on our worst day. We just don't always know it or acknowledge it. But any disappointment we've ever had, Father, any broken relationship we've ever had, we're bringing it here tonight, Father God, to this altar. There's something about taking the step and saying, I need you, Jesus, because I'm mindful of every step you took to Calvary, you took for me. You took that step so that I could be healed. There's a reason you died on the tree, which we're going to talk about on Easter. You died on a tree because sin happened at the tree. Father, I thank you, Jesus, for the tree of Calvary. Lord, heal our hearts even as we just stand here and worship tonight in Jesus' name. I'm going to worship.
Jesus, the most beautiful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings healing.